I'd like to read a number of scriptures. I hope you'll bear with me. They're all very well known. The first one in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all ye who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. John chapter 12, verse 32 and 33. John 12, verse 32-33. If I be lifted up out of the earth, will draw all to me. And this he said, signifying by what death he was about to die. Then in chapter 14, the same book, John 14, just verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. I am coming to you. Chapter 17, the same book, verse 24 to 26. Father, as to those thou hast given me, I desire that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, and the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have made known to them thy name, and will make it known, that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Matthew 23, and verse 37, just verse 37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those that are sent unto her. I often would I have gathered thy children as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself, with an assembling shout, with archangel's voice, and with trump of God, shall descend from heaven. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, the living who remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall be always with the Lord. So encourage one another with these words. I don't know if you've noticed that there's a common thread goes through these scriptures that I've read. And I would just like us to dwell on the Lord's desire to draw or gather us to himself. I think it's a wonderful thing to think that we have a glorious Savior who's purchased us, he's redeemed us by his blood, he's brought us near, and he would draw us into his presence that we might have the conscious sense of nearness to the Lord Jesus, nearness to himself. It all started with the call, didn't it? It all started when the Lord Jesus called us. And I suppose if you're not a Christian, I know I'm probably speaking to mainly Christians, but if there is anyone here who's not a Christian yet, you'll not understand what it is to be brought near to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were all like that once. We were far from God. We were lost. And the Lord Jesus called us. And I read this scripture that we rightly often use in the gospel preaching, where the Lord Jesus says, come to me, all ye who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. I'd like us all just to, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to just impress upon us the the desire of the Lord that we should come to him. I believe that's the desire that should be what we would appreciate, the Lord's desire that we should be brought to him. How often we are the ones that create the problems. We're the ones that don't come. But the Lord Jesus has reached out to bring us to himself. He said in that scripture, if I be lifted up, will draw all unto me. And he signified that by his death, the death he was going to die. I'd like you to appreciate again what Christ has done on that cross for you and for me. There he took my sins upon himself. As Paul could say it, he says, there he shed his precious blood for me. Oh, what a savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. What a one who's worthy of our company. We belong to him. He's died for us. He's redeemed us to himself that we might be for him. You might think that this is all a bit beyond us. Maybe if you're a young Christian, when I was younger, I used to hear the brethren talking about getting into the presence of the Lord and wondered what it meant. How did it work out? I couldn't quite understand it. I was challenged the other day, 2 or 3 weeks back, down speaking in town by a girl who came up and said, you know, I don't understand all this Christian stuff. It doesn't make any sense at all. Can you tell me what it means to you? They're a great challenge to be able to answer a question like that. But I just remember at one point, I said to her that as I go through my life, I have one beside me that is with me and never leaves me. And she looked to the side of me, to the right of me, and looked to the left of me, and she said, there's no one there. If you're not a Christian, you don't understand what a Christian has in the presence of the Lord Jesus alongside. Paul could say, at his first defense, if you remember, he said, no man stood by me. Sorry, he said, all left me, but the Lord stood by me. He had the experience and the knowledge of the one who stands by. You can have that too. We can all have that. How often we forget that. We go through the day and all our occupations, whether it in our work or the problems we have there, maybe at college or wherever stage of life we all are. The Lord Jesus Christ is there beside us, beside his own. Do you know, I like to think of it that when the Lord called us and took us to himself, he has brought us to himself. We go out from that position and return to it again. I know the scripture presents that the Lord is with me. He will never leave us. No, he will never leave us. These are wonderful things to cling to. How wonderful just to know the presence of the Lord Jesus, the one who draws us to himself. I heard a story the other day. I'm probably not going to quote it right now, but it was a gentleman who was nearing the end, and he was visited by a godly Christian as he lay in his bed. He said to the godly Christian, the godly Christian first of all said to him, the wonderful comfort is that you have the Lord with you. And he's the one that's going to see you right through. The man said, I have a problem, he says. I just can't understand the Lord being beside me. Christian said, thought about it, and he said, see that chair beside your bed? I want you to think that the Lord Jesus is sitting on that chair. I want you to talk to him. I want you to enjoy his company. Short time later, I don't know how long it was, the man died. The godly Christian who visited him came to comfort the family. And the family said, he died very peacefully in his bed. He said, there's one thing we don't really understand. When he died, he was half out of his bed with his head on the chair. The Christian said, I can tell you that that man had gone to be with Jesus in the arms of his Savior. Just an illustration. The Lord Jesus alongside the one who wants you to have his company, wants you to be in his company, wants us all to be there. Wonderful to think then that we live a life that's marked by the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody mentioned in an address a short time ago, Paul's words, for me to live is Christ. I think it must have a tremendous effect on your and my life to come out of the presence of Jesus in everything that we do and return to it again. You remember he said to the disciples, he said, come apart and rest a while. That was to be in his presence. And we need that. We need that. You'll know in the busy life that you might lead, I certainly do, there's so much to occupy us. And actually, if we let it, there's so much to listen to, so much to see, so much to distract us that really doesn't matter when we should be in the presence of the Savior that has died for us. We do fail, I know, I have. Times when you feel a long way from the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the words of number 51, remember Mr. Darby's hymn where he says, yet, Lord, alas, what weakness within myself I find. No infant's changing pleasure is like my wandering mind. Further down he says, oh, keep my soul then, Jesus, abiding still with thee. And if I wander, teach me soon back to thee to flee. Suppose you look at examples and you can see where that happened. Think of a man like King David, a man who God had told Samuel, a man after mine own heart. And yet David failed. But as he failed, wonderfully, God in his mercy brought him back to himself. Such that David uttered those words, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He'd lost that communion with the Lord Jesus, with God, the Lord. And he needed to be restored to it. How wonderful God's dealings with each one of us. Think of a man like Jacob. A man who bargained with God. He said, if he's with me, then will I serve him. Later in life, of course. He says, the one who shepherded me all my life long. He finished up as a worshiper. When you come to the New Testament, lovely examples in the New Testament, aren't there? of those who are close to Jesus. John, the man who wrote the gospel, think of him, one, the presence he had, place he had enjoyed before the Lord Jesus. He talks about himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Ah, we can all feel that, can't we? You look at John's history. He was one that heard the words of John the Baptist. If we decide that's the person that's unnamed. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There was an immediate attraction as he looked where John the Baptist was pointing. You know, John the Baptist was a true preacher, one who pointed souls to Jesus. So much so that Andrew and John, they followed him. The Lord Jesus saw them following and said, "Why, what seek ye?" And they said, "Where abidest thou?" He says, "Come and see." There you see the drawing power of the Lord Jesus then. Come and see. I don't think they went to see the grand house he lived in or any of the features of where comforts that he had. I think the occupation was with the blessed Savior himself. And it says they spent that day with him. Think of John. On that night when the Lord was about to suffer, he was the one that was on the bosom of Jesus. He was alongside. He was near to him. That's the aspect I would like to get. I know they were probably just the way they were lying around the table, but he was nearer than Peter. You know, remember Peter could say to John, or could look at John to signal to the Lord in relation to Judas. Peter was there. Sorry, John was there. Think of him at the cross. John stood beside the cross. We see him there. The one who took the instructions from the Lord in relation to his mother. John was one then who was imprisoned in the Isle of Patmos. Did that mean he didn't enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? Definitely not, because he became in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Wonderful to think of that. Think of a person like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Lord could say she has chosen the good part. What was she doing? She was listening to his words. She was appreciating what was coming from the Lord Jesus himself. You might say there was like a magnet there that held her to him, the drawing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of a man like Peter, a man who had his own confidence to overcome. We've all got our own problems to overcome, don't we? But wonderful to see Peter as a man who the Lord Jesus could work with. And even when his confidence was completely broken down, we see the way the Lord Jesus dealt with him to make sure that he was at home in his presence. And the Lord Jesus would do that to each one of us, you know. He would draw us to himself. You may wonder then, why in this evil world do we have a difficulty then? Because we see evil all around us and we don't understand what is happening. We won't understand because we can't see what the end is from the beginning. The Lord Jesus knows that. But I love the words of a psalm I found, Psalm 73. And there you'll remember the words. It says, "Until I went into the sanctuaries of God, then understood I their end." Just like to appreciate that we mightn't understand things. You know, the Lord's presence is the greatest place we could ever go to find what the Lord Jesus, to find one who would explain or give us to see his ways. When you read that psalm down, it's a psalm like so many of the psalms. It starts off with almost despair at the condition of things around and what seems to be happening. But he says, nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast holden my right hand. Peter had that experience, hadn't he? When he said, Lord, save me, holdest my right hand. Thou wilt guide me by thy counsel. And after the glory, thou wilt receive me. The end of that psalm, he says, but as for me, it is good for me to draw near to God. I've put my trust in the Lord Jehovah, that I may declare all thy works. I'd love us to have the real assurance of the nearness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read that verse in Matthew. As I say, we often refer to it in relation to the unsaved person. But it really goes on beyond that, doesn't it? Because he says, all ye that labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the yoke implies to me nearness. It implies to me, if you think of animals, oxen, used to see pictures of them in a yoke. And they both go the same direction. They share the load. And I would like to think of that here. As the Lord has put his claim on us, he's put us in that yoke with him. It's not a difficult yoke. He says it's an easy yoke. And the impression to me is, you know, that as you face the problems of life and the difficulties in being faithful to the Lord Jesus in the time that you have, it says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. My impression there is that the one who's taking the greater burden is the Savior himself. Just like us to just appreciate that. I'm going to refer to these probably all around. We referred to the one who would draw us all to himself. The lovely verse in number 78 that I found earlier when I was just looking through the hymn book, and it says, and when must come the moment thy calling by thy grace didst gently, firmly draw us, each from his hiding place. As the Lord Jesus has done, he's brought us into his presence, and he wants us to be there. Well, I read then in John 14, because I love to cling to the Lord's promises. The one that says, I will not leave you orphans. I am coming to you. We have a sister locally that, I don't know if she's on the call, but she has said a number of things that are a great encouragement to me. And when she lost her husband, actually I need to stop saying that, because she corrected me by saying, I haven't lost my husband. I know where he is. He's with Christ. But she's reminded me many times that she's never alone. She has a Savior alongside. And so we can have that wonderful experience. We're never alone. Christ is the one that has been alone. He was the only one who was completely forsaken. He was truly alone. You and I will never be alone. What a glorious Savior we have. And more than that, I didn't read it, but John 14, if you look on down, He says to them, if anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. I should have referred further back, because we get the Comforter as well spoken of. How we've got the whole Trinity available to us. How wonderful. There's a lovely thought too, that we answered the call when we were saved. We go through life as coming out and going back into the presence of the Lord. I'd like us to think of that and to lay hold of that. Scripture, I know, presents also about getting into the presence of the Lord. But I just love to think of it from the Lord's side. He's the one that draws us to us. It speaks about the fold, doesn't it? Those going in and out and finding pasture. Sorry, I should say out and in, I think, is the idea behind it. We return to the presence of the Lord. The disciples went out. You remember they were sent out two and two? And they went out and they returned. Of course, the first time they returned, they rejoiced that even the demons were subject to them. And the Lord Jesus says to them, he had a view of something greater, but he said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Do you know, our place is not here. We belong to heaven. We belong to where the Lord Jesus is. John 17, we read, wonderful verse, wonderful chapter. And there we see the Lord Jesus crying to us, or speaking and praying to his Father, that where he is, we might also be. And more than that, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I suppose also to the unbeliever, it might seem very strange that we would have our attention on one person, or that one person should seek our attention. But remember, we're not dealing with somebody like, I suppose, King Saul, who craved attention and place and whatever. Our attention is on the one who came near, came from the glory's highest heights, came near by becoming a man. And that man went to the cross and expended everything that you and I might come to him. How he deserves. And what we find in him is not a man that's commanding our response even. It's wonderful to think of that. But a heart that's been affected, as we sang at the start of the hymn we started with, Jesus, Lord Jesus, we love and adore thee. Oh, what a joy, no doubt, that gives to the heart of the Savior as he sees an answer from those whom he secured. Might we be that? I suppose the next thing, the way the Lord Jesus will draw us to himself, will be when we die or he comes for us. I just touch briefly, because I want to talk a wee bit about that later on. In the individual side, wonderful to think of the words to the malefactor on the cross, for example. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Love to think of that, you know. The man on the cross, he couldn't see the Lord as a king, yet he was given something, a view of that man that was beside him, that he was a man ready to come into his kingdom. And he says, just remember me. The Lord Jesus says, be greater than that, you know. You're going to be with me today in paradise. The words there that just touch me is with me, with me. Paul could say, to be with Christ, which is far better. You might say, when things are going bad, it might be lovely to be with Christ. But you know, even in the greatest of things, there's nothing to compare towards that view that we can have to be with Christ. To be with the one we love, how wonderful it'll be to think of that. So really, I've been thinking through at this point up to now, really, about the individual side and the Lord drawing us individually to himself, and that to be the place where we would be. My thoughts really go on to what some instances in relation to the collective side. Because the wonderful thing is, when we've been saved by the Lord Jesus, we find we're not alone. We find that there are other dear believers that we can encourage one another with. And I think that's something we need to appreciate. I seek to encourage two or three believers who we meet in town and around us who don't go anywhere. They're believers in the Lord Jesus. They don't feel the need to go to a church or to have other Christian company. But interestingly enough, they like to come and talk to us and be encouraged, as we would seek to encourage them too. And I think it just shows, doesn't it, that we need company of the Lord's people. But what I would like to think of is that lovely verse that we often quote in Matthew 18. For where two or three are gathered together unto thy name, my name, there am I in the midst of them. I suppose when I was a lot younger, going to the meeting had different connotations, different things. It was great to go and see your friends. It was great because I loved the Christian stories. Going to a fellowship meeting, of course, it was lovely to think there was a tea after it. If you want to pour it down, you got Mrs. Purdy's apple cakes. But if our gathering together is not a result of the Lord drawing us to himself, we're really missing out on something, aren't we? And I like to think that even occasion like this tonight, while we've come and many of us are lonely, many of us are feeling that we're not getting together in the way we would like to, in the way we've known before, to think that the Lord is actually drawing his saints together, that we might be occupied with himself. And I'd just like to think of that when we come together. We started our hymn, Thine is the love, Lord, that draws us together. I don't know about you, but in Belfast here, we often sing that hymn at the start of the supper on the Lord's Day. And it gives us a sense that he's the one that has drawn us together, the one who's given us to see what he's done for us. But if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be together. He's the one that's drawn us together. Wonderful just to think of that. Because as we come together and he's drawn us together, I believe it has a tremendous effect on the occasion. Sometimes coming together, particularly during the week after a busy day at work, can be like a habit, it's a good habit, or it can be like a chore. It shouldn't be. I find that as I come, even after a busy day of stress at work and whatever, it's wonderful to come into the Lord's presence. We always find peace there, don't we? We always find rest in his presence. He said, come, as I said earlier, come aside and rest a while. That's really what it's like, that the Lord might occupy us with himself. I believe it has an effect too on my contributions. It has an effect on my praise. It's an effect on my contributions in a reading meeting or in my prayers or as listening to a preaching, whatever else, that the Lord Jesus Christ is there. I used to hear some people praying at the start of the meeting, I've done it myself, to pray that the Lord might come in. And it's a good prayer to have, but I'd like to just suggest he's there already. He's the one that's drawn us together. The enjoyment of it is my difficulty. I can be at an occasion when everyone else is joining in the presence of the Lord, and I'm not. I'm missing out. The Lord Jesus is there, and he wants us to enjoy his presence, that we might be affected by him. Just in a practical way, as a Christian, I believe, and my father-in-law has just been overstaying with us, a comment several times he said when he was here was, and questioned, how often am I in the presence of the Lord? Because if I'm in the presence of my Lord, I'll become much, much more like him. And it's very true. We often say the saying, you become like the company you keep. And I'm tested at that because of my work at the moment. We're going through a lot of stress and staff problems and things. It's very easy to be affected by the way an unbeliever reacts or speaks or whatever. And I'm tested. Am I showing the Spirit that the Lord Jesus that I would have is coming from the Lord Jesus' presence? So I just read that verse in Matthew 23. I didn't really intend to say a lot about this one where he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those that were sent unto her. How often would I have gathered thy children as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Of course, the setting here was the Lord Jesus coming in and drawing near to his own earthly people. And we know how they rejected him, culminating in the cross that they nailed him on. But here we see the Lord's desire. I'd just like to translate that to the collective side. The Lord Jesus wants to gather his people to himself. It says, and you would not. Without saying anything more, I'd just like to say one thing. May I never get in the way of what the Lord Jesus is doing in drawing sins to himself. The last scripture I read is a beautiful scripture. We just read this recently in Belfast. And what an encouraging reading we had together. It speaks about the assembling shout. Isn't that the Lord drawing his own to himself? I love I love the way the translators of the Bible use the term assembly instead of the church. Because it conveys, doesn't it, the Lord Jesus drawing us together. An assembling shout. I know scripture speaks about the assembly and the place and the assemblies, but there's only one assembly, and that's the one that Christ is going to present to himself, as he shows, as it speaks of in this section. And this is the next, one of the things that impressed us as well, was that this is the next great event as far as prophecy is concerned, what we call the rapture. And here we get the Lord himself with an assembling shout. Just like to think, you know, the Lord's character hasn't changed right through. He's drawing us to himself. And he's drawing you, and he's drawing me to himself. And if we, this picture is a lovely one. One of the things we talked about in the reading we had was when it says that the Lord Jesus, one goes to be with the Lord Jesus. What is it that this scripture is then referring to? And the wonderful thing to think about it is that this scripture goes to show me, and one of the things we arrived at was this scripture goes to show us that in order to see the Lord Jesus in his glory, we would need our bodies of glory. And this scripture just shows us the wonderful thing that is going to happen as the Lord secures for himself what, in view of the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross. This assembly is going to be presented to himself. But here it says Christ will come. And you can read this, of course, alongside 1 Corinthians 15. But it says here, the dead shall rise first. Then in Christ shall rise first. Then we, the living who remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall be always with the Lord, with the Lord. It's like us to dwell on that, because it's going to be that wonderful assembling shout. And so we'll be translated from this scene with all the mortality and failure and everything in it into a body of glory that will see the blessed Savior that has died for us. So encourage one another with these words. Do you know, I'd love that that would be the end of our time together, that we are all encouraged. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's drawing us to himself, he's done it right at the start. He's doing it right through our lives. Might we not lose the sense that he's left us alone? He hasn't. He's drawing us to himself. The failure is always on our side. But then to appreciate the Lord drawing us to himself. Tomorrow morning, if the Lord leaves us here, many of us will be gathering together to remember the Lord Jesus, the one who died for us. Might we have that sense tomorrow morning that he's drawing us into his presence, and might we then be full of praise and response to the one that has done so much for us. Might we just be encouraged for his name's sake.